I will make them wrong, and I'll die in
here. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Tuesday night Medical Tuesday broadcast with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Before we get on with our show, I need to read our disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on the Defender 7 radio show and Facebook page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. So we got another interesting show for you tonight. Survival medicine. Colonel Kimberly Purvis always puts on an awesome show when it comes to the medical side. Oh, and, of course, our history side. Don't want to lose that part. But for those of you new just tuning in, we also are on YouTube. Go check out our YouTube channel. Click that subscribe button for us. We have a website, type in all lowercase letters, www.defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, as in, with two small I's, .com. We have a store and a donate button on there. 100% proceeds from sales from our store, and any money we bring in via donation or otherwise, goes back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something or hit that donate button. Every little bit helps. It's the only way that we could do and offer what we do is through donations and sales from our store. So help us to help you and your communities. We're also on MeWe. If you click on organizations and scroll down, Defenders 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Or come check us out on our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call in with your opinions, conversation, just to basic participate. And that number to call is area code 914-205-5773. Again, that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. And if you're a little afraid to call in, we also have a chat room in Blog Talk that is live. You can also come there. Now, I'd like to turn the microphone over to your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis.
Howdy, howdy.
We got our major of Wisconsin, Miss Lorner Muncie, a.k.a. Slacker.
Wisconsin.
And I believe
hopefully it's not too much longer.
I believe we got our captain from Kentucky, Randy Forsey.
Howdy.
Yeah, I was right. Welcome,
yeah.
Dude.
Yep. How y'all
and
doing?
And we got a familiar voice with us too. Go ahead there, mysterious caller.
Hi, guys.
Is that Don?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Kim. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Don't forget, Lorna, so, Don. Lorna said hi, Don.
Yeah.
Hi, Lorna.
Yeah, a troublemaker from Wisconsin.
You know it. I always have shenanigans going.
Of course. Starting them.
Yep. And corrupting the rest of us.
Oh, no.
Yep.
I got my learned lesson
yep.
from you guys.
Uh-uh. They're not. They already told me they're not ready for you down here in South Carolina yet. That's why they're holding you up in Wisconsin.
Well, they better get ready.
Coming in like a wrecking ball.
That's the way I usually fly.
Okay, so before we get started on tonight's topic of survival medicine and cool stuff, when I say no to self, you know it's going to be stupid. So 6:30, I decide, well, I got plenty of time. I'm going to go hop in the shower, right? Well, I'm an hour behind you guys. So I'm like, I got enough time. So I go in the shower, get, you know, in the shower and all this, right? And I got the bathroom door cracked open. And all of a sudden, like, shampooing my hair and all this shit, I'm just going to... All of a sudden, I hear the dogs just barking. I mean, they go mental. Nutcase. I heard a door open and close. And I'm like, great. Somebody's in my house. And it's just, everything went total silent. I mean, not a peep. And that's why I thought somebody broke in the house. Right? So I'm yelling for the dog. I get out of the shower, and I'm rushing to dry off and get dressed. I'm yelling for the dog. Nothing. Not a peep out of the little bastard. I walk out of the shower into the living room, and they both are laying on the one on the couch and one on the floor, and they just turn their head and look at me like, what? Like, you're just going to fucking ignore me? And no, it was my neighbor. He opened and closed his the hood of his truck. That's what it was. So I told my daughter, I said, that's it. I'm bringing a gun into the shower from now on. Because that's the thing I've worried about the most. Being home by myself, somebody breaks in, and you're naked in the shower, and you can't do anything.
Thank you for
but
the visual.
Maybe... Yeah, I know, huh?
Yeah, really.
But, no, I'm serious. If you just sit there, if you're in the shower and you're by yourself in your house and you hear a commotion and you're naked, what are you going to do, throw a shampoo bottle at him? I mean, really, you can't do anything. So, yeah, that was – and I hate my dog because they're assholes. So, but, anyway, and something else that I just – I saw a video on this, kind of serious. I thought it was here in America, but it's not, okay? Apparently, somebody in New Guinea and in Africa got the Marburg virus after they got the COVID shot. Now, is it correlated? No clue. But the thing about the Marburg virus, it's in the Ebola family, and it's a hemorrhagic fever, and the mortality rate is from 24 to 88%. So just hopefully it stays there and does not come here. So when the person did the video, it was like, you know, that it was here, but it's not. It's over in Africa and New Guinea for right now. So
Jim, how
it is pretty
that
serious. That, huh?
How is that contract?
Monkeys. It's highly
also
contagious.
Through feces?
No. Actually, it's from, well, I would say so. Hold on. Risk of exposure here. Oh, oops. I meant transmission. Nope. Not that one. Come on. Go back to transmission.
What was it you was talking about? The boys rudely interrupted me.
The Marburg virus. Okay, so it's transmitted by blood or body fluids, urine, saliva, sweat, and feces, vomit, breast milk, amniotic fluid, and sexual contact. That's how it's transmitted from person to person.
Can that become airborne after that?
No, that's the only way to get Marburg virus. It says objects contaminated with body fluids from a person who is sick or who has died from the virus, such as their clothes, their bedding, needles, medical equipment. It could also be transferred that way. Let's see. So it can remain in certain body fluids.
So it can be contacted that way.
It's direct contact.
Damn it.
Close environment or direct contact. So basically it's the caregivers that's going to, you know, if you're at home, the caregivers that have to take care of, you know, your clothing, your bedding, and things like that. But that's the way it's transmitted. So, but we all know everything mutates. So, that's that one particular strain of Ebola. Now there's others that is transmitted by droplet, sneezing, coughing, and things like that. So, but that's the strand that you want to stay over there and not go anywhere else. And also, one of them, it comes from African fruit bats. So, that's some of the other.
Yeah, well,
but,
Jim, if it's part of the vaccine, then you may see it over here.
Hello?
Sorry about that. My call got dropped.
Did we lose? I thought maybe I asked a bad question.
No. My call was dropped.
No, I said that. You said that hopefully it stays over there. And I said, yes, that's as long as it's not part of the vaccine.
Well, there's
something
about the mRNA, the RNA, that's in the virus itself. Someone said,
right.
Because remember, when they first started doing the vaccines, it had to do, it was actually created as a as a vaccine for HIV.
Right. And then
So that's why I was saying, we don't know everything there is to know. And I'm wondering if, remember when I mentioned that, when the approval first came out from the FDA, and then Pfizer got a letter from the FDA that said they had 14 days to send a sample.
It's not the same vaccine, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. The guy didn't say that, and I left him some questions, and hopefully he'll answer them. But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, no, the guy that developed the vaccine, Dr. Malone or something like that, he did an interview and he broke down the letter. He said, first of all, these two different letters, and that's what people have to realize. The one letter is reauthorizing Pfizer to that they can use their vaccine as a emergency use authorization, plus I think allowing for the booster shot. That's where they got the approval. The FDA vaccine approval letter is on that vaccine that begins with the letter C, and it's actually not going to be available here in the United States until 2023, I think they said.
Because 2 years.
Right. They haven't had the full research, and like you said, they have to send in a sample of their labeling as well as a list of ingredients. Because even though, you know, patent says they don't have to put everything on their label, they have to tell the FDA everything that's in it. So they have to send a sample with the labeling and the list of ingredients to the FDA. Now, the problem is that...
Are they going to send the right stuff?
Well, here's the thing, is that whether they do or not, well, I would hope that they do, that's what's going to be researched by the FDA and approved. Once it's approved and they start using the vaccine that the FDA approved, they lose their protection given to them by the emergency use authorization, which means that anybody that has a reaction, you know, has side effects or dies, they can be sued for that. Right now, they can't be held accountable. So they're not willing to lose that EUA thing, but they needed the FDA approval in order to force the military to be to take the vaccine. But the problem is that that to get out of it, all anybody has to do is say, okay, I will take the, however you pronounce that word, vaccine that the FDA approved that will be available in the United States in 2023. I'll take that vaccine.
Yeah, only if it's changed, and only if in 2 years people aren't dead. Completely dead from it. That's the whole thing.
I'll worry about that in 2 years. In the meantime, I've bought myself 2 years.
It's going to take longer than 2 years to figure out the side effects of it. Just like the Gardasil shot.
No, because here's the thing. Once you fix 2020 and get these idiots out of office, then we can worry about cleaning up all the other stuff.
Well, unfortunately, at that point, we're going to have so many casualties, but you have to follow the money trail. And you also, it's going to take, just like the Gardasil, Kim. Remember when the Gardasil came out and then all the side effects came out?
Yep. And
so
I don't believe
it's
that's the
one take
drop,
longer.
But I don't
it's
believe
going
it.
To take longer. It's going to take longer than 2023 to see the side effects. So the booster is going to be very similar to a flu shot.
I am not disagreeing with you at all. What I am saying is that, you know, people, with this vaccine, is that the vaccine that the FDA approved hasn't even been manufactured yet. The letter,
it's not approved, though. Honestly, it's not approved. It's not officially approved yet.
Correct. And it may not be approved in 2023.
The vaccine that Pfizer just put in is not officially FDA approved. It was an emergency order. It is not medically approved yet.
Yes, I know. I'm agreeing with you. I know this. What I am saying is that there are two letters. There are two vaccines. The one that they're injecting everybody with right now. And the one that begins with the letter C that I can't pronounce. Never can pronounce the damn thing.
I'm going to hold on a second. That's what I'm looking up.
It's, yeah.
Hold on a second.
Tamarachin or something like that?
Hold on. Damn it. Oh, my internet thing is pissing me off. Sorry.
But they just took another drug or vaccine or something off the market after 30 years. I saw a list of all these drugs and a couple of vaccines that were on the market for decades, and they finally took them off because they were dangerous. It took them 5 to 10 years to approve it. They approved it, and then 10 years later, they take it off of the market because after another 10 years of research, they find out that it's not good for you. They're supposed
to
be doing this.
It's Comirnaty. It's Comirnaty.
Hold on, you guys are talking over each other. Go ahead, Kim.
It's Comirnaty. They renamed the Pfizer COVID vaccine to Comirnaty, and that's the one that was approved. The original Pfizer vaccine is still got an extension on the emergency use authorization. They just renamed it, and they did full approval for children 12 and up to get it. And see, that's what
Correct.
They're going to use to say, ooh, we're fully approved. No, you're fully approved to give it to 12-year-olds now.
And by 2022, this time next year, they'll be doing it 12 and under. But we still will not know the long-term effects.
No, never will. And I saw something really interesting that I sent Bobby the video. China is making the robotic, they look like dogs, but they're robots, really. They're all metal, and they run off of the 5G towers. And that's what tracks the nanite technology that's inside of the COVID vaccine. It's so they can track everybody that's sick. And that's what they want. If you have a fever, the CDC or a doctor is going to call you, hey, you're sick, you need to come in and get tested. That's what those things were. And they're already in New York, already being sent out. And my son was telling me, he said, yeah, those damn things are probably made of titanium alloy that you can't blow the damn things up.
So if you do the paper trail and go back into history and where we currently are with our elected office, everything behind it is titanium.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Bobby,
it makes sense.
Like the show last night, we did lithium is something else that's in Afghanistan. And their push for the electronic car, you know, the hybrid vehicles,
Correct.
All of the electric cars has to have a lithium battery.
Correct.
So
just like all of our cell phones are all lithium.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. And granted, lithium batteries do last longer. Don't get me wrong. But they want us dependent on other countries. That's the whole thing. And we saw I saw this video. I shared it, but I got put in Facebook prison it was 30 days. Now it was only 7. This doctor who works for the patent office, he actually went through all of the patents. And Fauci started it in 2003. The money trail, the paper trail goes all the way back to him.
Do we know how much money has been made off of the vaccine so far? $90 billion.
Yeah, it's a money-making thing. And the guy who created, I think it was the guy who made the mRNA, he said it's all about money.
$90 billion, and we're not done yet.
No. And the funny thing is, the UK.
I know we're covering something in the future. And you'll be able to break down state by state, depending on what party affiliated you are. You will know where the paper trail has come from, and we can go back 30 years and see the trail.
Oh, I think it goes back farther than that. to be honest.
Well, again, I mean, how much? Listen, you're the history buff. I don't do history, but I don't do history. You know me. But I know at least 30 years there is a paper trail. People have to open their eyes. Your best way to fight any of these are your autoimmune system.
Is it what?
Proper vitamins, your autoimmune. Proper vitamins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Proper exercise, eating properly. That is your best defense against all of these. The
what?
Other thing is, unless you're fatally ill, do not get tested for any of them. If you get a flu, what are you going to do? Kim, you're going to stay home. You're going to take chicken soup. You're going to take vitamin B, C,
yep.
D, zinc. So that's the other thing. People have to stop getting tested unless you are fatal. If you can't treat it at home with Vicks or your vitamins or chicken soup, orange juice, we have to keep our children and ourselves out of doctor's offices.
The only way you should really... The only way you should go is if you have a fever of 103 or higher.
Higher.
That's
that can't
you
be
know,
broken between
you,
Motrin and Tylenol.
Well, no, see, that's when I got COVID in December through January, mine would not go down. It was 103.5. And for 2 weeks, I was at home on the couch, and I did all of it. And I did a Tylenol Motrin. It would go down to 102, back up to almost 104, back down to – I mean, it would go back and forth. It lasted a week like that, and I'm like, you know what? I'm done. Come to find out, I had blood clots in my lungs. So –
again, we have
to
be medically smart.
Oh, yeah.
And try the alternatives first instead of just running. Again, if you have a consistent fever with yourself or your child and you can't break it, then you go to your doctor. They send you to an ER. But you have to remember, your pharmaceutical gives paybacks to your personal care physician, free medication. Here's a trial medication. Try this. If it works for you, I'll give you a prescription. So everything plays hand in hand. We have to be smarter.
That's why I decided to get the herbal medicine and herbal antibiotics and stuff, because and I'm going to try and find it, dry it or however, because some of that stuff you got to have it fresh, you know, like go pick it out of your yard and do it that way. Some of it you can dry it just like seasonings. You just put them in a vacuum sealed container and have at it. Because I'm tired of all the medications. I've already dropped like 6 of my medicines. I refuse to take it. I'm done with it. But there's that.
We've talked about that hundreds of times, Kim, where there's a necessary evil. If you have heart disease or diabetes or autoimmune or whatever your personal issues are. We've covered that 100 times. There's necessary evils, just like there's antibiotics. Sometimes you need an antibiotic. Is it good for your body? No. But do you need it at times? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. We're going to have these – we've got these super bugs like MRSA and VRSA and other ones that are that are antibiotic resistant. And no matter what you do – and so the high – the more people run to, like my mom, I swear to God, she gets a sniffle. Oh, my God, I need a Z-Pak. No, you don't. Let it run its course. People are, but some doctors will just throw it at you like, here, just get out of my office. Or it's because they don't care, and they get money. The more scripts they write, the more money they get paid, the more money the pharmaceutical company, you know, it's just a vicious cycle.
Yeah, since the onset of COVID, I travel multiple states monthly, my whole family. But when I travel, I get prescriptions for prednisone, augmentin, and penicillin. Just in case, God forbid, one of my children or us starts to get sick, and I can't fight it, we have it with us. But do we ever take it? We don't ever take it. They always run out. They always run out. I'm sorry?
So
I just realized I was listening and I thought it was Wisconsin. And
you thought it was Lorna?
It's Dawn. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Wait a minute, I don't know what she's saying.
Welcome to the party.
What? I heard something about Wisconsin.
She thought Dawn was you.
She thought Dawn was you, Lorna. She doesn't sound right. And then when I started paying attention to her tone, I'm like, wait, that's Dawn. I haven't heard her forever.
I don't talk that much.
She didn't know better.
That's not nice, Lorna.
Wasn't trying to be mean. Okay, go back to the topic. Sorry, I just had to make sure I wasn't hearing things, that it really is Dawn.
Yes, I pop on now and then. Sometimes I just listen.
So I'm going to go ahead and get started, which happens to be what we're talking about, the survival medicine book that I got. So under respiratory infections, it covers your larynx, your voice box, your nasal passages, your tongue, your trachea, your bronchial tubes, your lungs, and your diaphragm. So even with today's modern medical technology, most of us can't avoid an occasional respiratory infection. So without strict adherence to sanitary protocol, it would be very easy in a major disaster for your whole entire community to come down with cold, sinusitis, influenza, or even pneumonia. A lot of times your common cold can actually end up as pneumonia if you can't beat that cold. With me, if it starts in my sinuses, it goes down, becomes a cold to upper respiratory infection, bronchitis, and pneumonia. For me, that's how it always goes if I can't knock out that sinusitis or a cold. And then I'm sick for months. So common colds may be caused by any of the 200 viruses.
Excuse me, Kim, are you a smoker?
Yeah. No.
Okay, go ahead.
No. Oh, why?
Well, because we all go through the normal thing where it starts upper and then sets in your lungs.
I have mild COPD. I'm mild COPD.
Okay, so you have lung issues.
Yeah, it's hereditary.
Okay.
So we all have, unfortunately.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Oh, that's okay. So influenza comes from viruses in the influenza A, B, and C categories. Most of the time it's from A. Over the course of history, influenza outbreaks have killed more than 100 million people. Most of the deaths associated with influenza are not caused by the virus itself. See, that's why I don't understand why they're pushing this vaccine. There's no cure for a virus.
Kim, do you know how many deaths were reported last year from influenza versus COVID?
There was no influenza last year. And I'm not being a smartass.
They actually said zero.
Oh, yeah. It was like 680,000 supposed deaths from COVID. But come to find out, the CDC's already said it's about 10%. Now they're saying it might be as high as 15% have actually come from COVID. AOC went out. I could not believe she did this. I saw the video, and then I went and found the news briefing where she said, if your family member got COVID or did not die from COVID, to go and have the doctor change the death certificate to death by COVID. That's fraud. So no matter how – see, they're not even hiding this shit anymore.
They
don't care. And the thing is, they've gotten away with so much corruption for so many decades. in all honesty, the only way, and I'm just saying this as a hypothetical, the only way to stop it is to just blow DC right off the map. That's it. Start from scratch.
So we actually have him waiting not to be tested for COVID, God forbid, if we got into a traffic accident tomorrow. Bobby and I just had this conversation. Yes, we do. Because we don't want our...
It's the graphene oxide.
To be COVID.
True. True. A guy got in a motorcycle accident. He was beheaded. Did not have COVID. And COVID was listed as his, why he died. Cause of death was
And I'm not by any means saying this is not real. It's a real virus.
Oh, no, it is. Yeah, it is. It's real. I got it.
It's a real
the
virus.
Only reason why I believe the only reason why I believe I got COVID, one, I got blood clots, and I lost my sense of taste and smell. And in my 50 years of life, I have never, ever, 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 ever lost my sense of taste or smell or had blood clots from a cold, ever, or had a fever that damn high. That's how I know. But they tested me for influenza A first, or A and B first. It came back negative. Then they tested me for COVID afterwards. They didn't want to just say, boom, here, let's test for COVID. And then when my oxygen levels kept dropping into the 80s, they did a D-dimer, and which is an arterial blood gas, and that's when they found I had blood clots.
Yeah, we actually had it prior to it being named. We had traveled from Mississippi, got laid over in Chicago, back to PA, and we all had it. We brought it home. We gave it to the rest of our family. But at that time, they were not testing for it. It's going through my family yet again. But the only symptoms are, again, you have 50% of the family that gets tested, the other 50% that just pops their vitamins.
Yep.
So
my brother's got
all they have,
right now.
All they have are, like, sinus infections.
Yeah.
Head, throat, chest. So you pop a Vicks plug-in in, you take your freaking vitamins, and you take care of yourself.
Well, Dawn, they did say that the Delta variant is exactly the same as hay fever. Those are the symptoms.
Yeah.
So if that's what you have, then you have the Delta variant. Your second time was not straight up COVID, but Delta variant.
So I guarantee we have the first COVID before it was named. I know for a fact we've had variants since then, including, again, 50% of my family having it right now, and it's like a sinus infection.
Yeah.
No one goes to the doctor. Again, 50% went to the doctors, 50%, I'm just breaking down the numbers for you. They're not exact. And the rest are treating it at home with your autoimmune and your vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
they're doing better at this point than the ones that are all vaccinated. So it makes no sense to me. And again, I'm not trying to downplay that it's not real. I know the virus is real. But I know your autoimmune makes a difference. Get on your freaking vitamins.
I have one autoimmune disorder, plus they think I have another one. And look, here's the thing. I got COVID. I recovered. I have antibodies.
We have three in my house. Were you tested for the antibodies, Kim?
No. Not that I know of. Not that I'm aware of.
Three of us have autoimmunes in our house. And, again, let me thank the man upstairs. We've been fine. I mean, not that it can't get one of us tomorrow. I'm not saying that. I think it's a very live virus. But it's a virus. It's a virus.
Yeah.
Until you are critically ill, they're not going to treat you anyway.
But see, here's the other thing. I believe that a majority of the deaths from last year in the very beginning were because they were being treated with the wrong treatment, like putting people on ventilators.
Okay. The ventilators actually break down your lungs. I mean, you know that. You're in the medical profession. So they...
Yeah, with the crap in your lungs, it's like concrete.
But they're forcing air into something that's not working. It's going to blow.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that it's not going to... Here's the thing. The mucus from COVID is like solidified concrete in your lower lobes. When you push air through that, all it's going to do is expand it more and cause your lungs to rupture.
Yep.
Wrong treatment.
Damn, all Kim, I'm glad I don't have a medical background.
Well, see, no, I'm saying, and so they should have just been on 100% oxygen, you know, with the mask, not the nasal cannula, the thing in your nose.
Correct.
So
antibiotics, steroids, get the mucus out of your lungs, nebulizer treatments to bring up the mucus.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it up.
10,000 vitamin D or vitamin C, I forget which one it is.
Zinc, and berries.
Right.
And calcium.
A woman on, she did, she's has a radio show, whatever, but she was doing a radio show. And she talked about when her and her husband went into the emergency room because they were pretty sure he had COVID at that point. And she said that she had to fight to get him the treatment that he was supposed to have. She goes, they immediately wanted to put him on a ventilator. She said, what's killing the people with COVID is not COVID, but the protocol. The CDC gave hospitals a set of protocols that they're supposed to do when somebody comes in and tests positive and has symptoms for COVID. They have a set of protocols they're supposed to follow. And that's what's killing people. She said once she convinced the doctors, you know, and the nurses to do what had to be done, like intravenous vitamin C and stuff, she said, you know, they were saying that her husband was going to be dead because she wouldn't let them put him on a ventilator. And he was out within five days, something like that. They took him to ICU. He was in ICU for a few days, and then he was in a regular room, and then he was out. And she said, and the doctors, you know, some of them tried to do what they could, but for the most part, with killing people with COVID is the protocols. Doctors don't know. They just do what the CDC tells them to do.
They got paid $50,000.
Right. The CDC tells the hospital, because this is how you make hospitals make money, the hospitals tell the doctors, and doctors, even, you know, they don't take the time to really research things. You know, for doctors, it's not always about the money. It's about this is what the hospital says we're supposed to do, same thing with nurses, so that's what we're going to do. Some of them, yes, it is about the money or, you know, whatever. But, I mean, they're doctors. They treat patients. They don't research. They trust the CDC is doing that. You know what I mean? So that's what the
It's on an individual basis. It depends on what your oxygen level is when you go in there. The first common sense is you start oxygen. Then you start nebulizer treatments. Then you start a steroid. And then you see how your oxygen levels increase. Am I incorrect, Tim?
Do what?
I said the first thing is you go with your oxygen level.
Yeah.
Then you go with oxygen. Then you go with a steroid. Then you go with your nebulizer treatments. And then if your oxygen level does not increase and you have to be vented, that's where I think we're missing a lot of this. There's protocols that are not being followed, and that's where the ventilation is blowing the lungs out, and that's the cause of death. You came in, you had COVID, we put you on a ventilator. All these steps were not taken, so therefore your lung blew out.
See, what they did for me was they checked my oxygen level. Oh, shit, my oxygen's in the 80s. Okay, put me on a nasal cannula, 1 or 2 liters, okay, and they watched it. They checked my – and see, they were letting me go home until they got my oxygen level – and they saw it, and then they did the arterial blood gas. And they're like, no, you got to stay here. And he was just going to send me home with whatever antibiotic. And so the VA uses Remdesivir, and it's IV only. So I didn't get breathing treatment, but I did get steroids. I got prednisone, Tessalon Pearls, which is like Robitussin, but like on steroids itself. It works really, really good. A lot of COPD patients get Tessalon Pearls. And then I got my the antibiotics. I got fluids for 1 day, or 2 days I got fluids, and after that they took them off. And then I just got my zinc, vitamin C, and calcium. But the other thing they did find out was a majority of people who got COVID, their calcium levels were low. And that's why my doctor put me on calcium afterwards, because my calcium level was really low. Normally,
so they never put you on Ventolin or a nebulizer?
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
See, that's where you're missing, where you got to bring it up instead of forcing down.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's the thing. But the Tessalon Pearls worked. So before they gave me another treatment or something else, they gave me the cough medicine. And
so is that an infection?
Yeah.
Okay.
It breaks up the crack and makes you cough it up. Because I feel bad because the nurse's station was right there at I was right there, probably 30 feet from the nurse's station, and I'd cough. And I'd get that tickle in my throat, and I'd go, and then I'd start coughing and coughing and coughing until I'd almost throw up. And they're like, would you like your medicine? Yeah, sure. I wouldn't ask for it because I hated to bother them because they're going to put all that crap on, and eventually they wore less and less stuff. After 3 days, I was feeling so much better. I'm like, can I go home now? And the doctor's like, no, unfortunately.
So, yeah, once you started coughing, they gave you that medication, so that suppressed it. So you didn't cough?
No. I did, but it helped break the stuff up because I wasn't coughing anything up. It was too sick
like
to cough one. Up.
So like
what?
A death one. An over the like an over-the-counter death one.
Yeah.
Where
so,
it's a combination where it breaks it up, but you're not coughing all the time.
Oh, yeah. Death so, one. Yeah, it calms the cough, but it helps break it up so you can cough it up. That's my problem. I'll get that coughing, almost like a smoker's cough, first thing in the morning. You know, I know you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, don't judge us.
No, I know. But see, when I get bronchitis.
I'm kidding.
No, I know. I give Bobby shit all the time, especially about drinking. I send him all these, and then Lauren about drinking. I know how you guys feel. Because when I get a cold, I will cough until I almost vomit to get the crap up out of my lungs. And that's what happens with COVID. It turns to, it seems like it's concrete.
So Desflon, just like Benadryl, should be in everyone's home. It's an over-the-counter medication, same as you receive for COVID. So it soothes the cough, but yet it still breaks up the congestion. That you can buy over-the-counter.
Yeah, the Delsim, yeah, the orange. But they don't sell it by a big bottle, though.
No.
It's good for children.
D-Y-S-L-E-M. It's just
yeah,
like liquid with Benadryl.
Oh, yeah,
you
can
have it
is.
In your home.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, but, yeah, as far as the Delta variant and the Alpha, Delta, Lambda, whatever, Greek alphabet, they're saying add Benadryl to it, to your little spiel of what to take. And
well,
see, like, I can't take
down.
And I can't take aspirin, and that's to help prevent blood clots because I have so many stomach problems. They're like, no. I can't take Motrin anymore. No more Motrin, Advil, or ibuprofen. None of it. I'm not allowed. Just Tylenol, and it sucks ass. I got gastritis again, and I've had it. See, today's September. Well, tomorrow September. I've had it 11 times this year. And my doctor's like, no. And then that's why they found out that I might have ulcerative colitis, which sucks. So anyway, everybody knows that most respiratory infections are spread by viral particles. And many organisms can cause these infections that can live up to 48 hours on common household surfaces, like your kitchen counters, anything hard, any hard surface. Now, things like your couch, your blankets and stuff, they die faster because it absorbs it or breaks it up. And so that's why also another good way to kill a lot of viruses is throw your bedding in the dryer on a high heat for 45 minutes. Now, I just bleached all my shit, everything. Bleached it, used scalding hot water in the washer.
I have another secret.
And dried it. What?
Windex.
Windex? Oh, yeah, because of the vinegar.
Mikey's wedding kills everything. And they even have an antibacterial one now. Before it was only the blue, but now they have a yellow one out that's an antibacterial.
I tried cleaning with vinegar, too, and I can't stand. Okay, look, I like making pickles and pickled eggs and all that stuff. Cool. I love making it, but the smell needs to go away eventually. So that's
you
why
put
I
two tablespoons of vanilla in there. Just like you do
with really?
Your paint. If you're painting your room, like I have
Okay.
in my house. So if you're painting your room, if you put two tablespoons of vanilla in your paint, your house won't smell. So you do the same
that's
thing
cool.
with apple cider vinegar.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Me and my interruptions.
Oh, no, that's all right. So contagious viral particles can easily travel 4 to 6 feet, henceforth the 6 foot, you know, social distancing or social distance. Respiratory issues are usually divided into upper and lower respiratory infections, like bronchitis and pneumonia. You can throw pleurisy in there, too, because that sucks, too. Upper respiratory tract is from the vocal cords or up. It's in your throat. So from your throat up. Even the upper part of your airway. Because you'll hear that rattling. You can feel it and you can hear it. And just put your hand on your chest, I mean, you could feel it when you're rattling. Lower, so the diagnosis will often be related to your nose will be rhinitis, so your throat pharyngitis, sinusitis, laryngitis when you lose your voice. That was the other unusual thing. After I got over COVID, it took me a good 3 months to fully recover. Bobby, remember when I kept, when we had, I could not do the shows? I had zero voice. And it was like that on and off for about a month and a half.
Kim, what is it called for your lower, the CPAPs they do on your back and your lungs to break up the mucus? What is that called? I don't think it's CPAP.
It's percussion, but they have percussion vests that they put on children with cystic fibrosis.
Right, because we did that with my...
Yeah.
My niece had CF, and my kids had asthma, so we had to do that with them to break up the congestion, too.
Yeah. Now, you could do it by cupping your hands and doing it
correct
to the back of a child, or even adult if they have, you know, and you make it like a little cup, and you just, like you're giving them a back massage. You know how you do the karate chops, but you use the palm of your hand. Now, don't get me wrong, the percussion vest, you know, you just put it on for 30 minutes, boom, you're done. The other way, it takes, you know, it feels like it takes
and
forever.
And they're great following nebulizer treatments because once the nebulizer, the Ventolin, gets in there, the percussions, it breaks everything up.
Now, something that, and see, what's weird is in our house, we have two front rooms, which is the front living room and my bedroom. And then there's the kitchen, and we have a Jack and Jill bathroom, which is a door to the kitchen. And then we have another a den, and then my son's bedroom in the back. And that's how we did our social distance. he stayed in his living room and just closed the door. And the only thing he got was a fever for like a day, asshole, and a runny nose. That's all he got. That was it. Oh, he was tired all the time. And the fatigue, it drove me insane. The fatigue was just unbelievable. Oh, sorry, guys. I got to go out and get my retards.
That's actually what happened with our family, Kim. When we first got it before it was named COVID, Jay, who never, ever gets sick, ever, we got a layover in Chicago, and he was actually laying on the table and couldn't move. And literally within 12 hours, I'm like loading him with inhalers, his vitamins, and within 12 hours, he was literally 100%. He's like, what the hell did you give me? I'm like, just swallow. I gave him the multivitamin. I increased all of our vitamins. I gave him an inhaler and prednisone. And within 12 hours,
yeah,
he was fine. And he is never, ever sick, ever.
You know,
but
the other
again,
thing that's really good?
It was actually named COVID. We got it in March. It got named in April. I'm sorry, February.
Yeah, and everybody was sick in 2019 in November and December. Remember, a lot of people got this really, you know, it's like, oh, my God, the sinus infection or this cold that lasted a little longer than the average cold. We all knew that's what that was then.
I was in seven states then. Seven states we were in.
One thing that we found that works great, unfortunately, I didn't get to use it. He did, because I ended up in the hospital. I should guilt trip him and say that's probably the reason why, but he probably wouldn't care. They sell these little effervescent tablets, and you throw in the shower while you're in the shower, and it opens up your lungs, and it's like Vicks vapor. It's made by Vicks, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we live off of Vicks plugins. You plug them in the wall.
Well, no, this you put in the shower.
Right.
While
so
you're taking a
what
shower.
I do is we plug them in the wall, and when they go to shower, if they're asthma or they're congested, we throw one of the tabs in the shower. It's all Vicks.
Mm-hmm.
It's all vapor.
They actually have humidifiers.
Have them too.
Well, the humidifiers with the Vicks, that you can put the Vicks in it.
So like you were saying earlier, our allergies wind up going to your lungs.
Yep.
So all their allergies, because they're asthmatics, they go into the lungs, turns into infections. So we are like pros with Vicks. And honey is another big one.
Oh, that I just saw a video on this from an allergy doctor. He said, what was the first thing? There's something. Oh, pineapple juice. If you start noticing the wheezing or the congestion, drink pineapple juice. Now, he said, but there's something that's in the pineapple juice, and I, for the life of me, it's like escaping my brain. Add honey to it. And that activates whatever's in the pineapple juice.
Interesting. We're from New Jersey. We're a honey state. Our honey is homegrown, and it's the best honey
get. But see, that's the other thing. When I got COVID, when I was sick, I drank either eucalyptus tea, orange spice tea, lemon tea. There was like all these different herbal ones, and I added honey.
Yeah, you're natural. It's natural.
Yeah. But let me see, what was it?
The pineapple. I live in Jersey, so the honey is, you're not topping it. But I'm kind of curious to have it in the back.
And then there's something else. This guy made it only lasts 2 weeks in your refrigerator.
Lemon drops.
No. It's all different types. But yeah, you need those too. what in the world? I cannot think of what the nutrient that's in pineapple juice. Damn it.
So we even cheat while you're looking up. We even cheat, and we take packets from Wawa, and we keep them in all of our sports bags and vehicles.
Yep.
So just say our allergies are acting up. We just literally just suck down a packet, and boom, they're gone. It doesn't last long.
Oh, it helps inflammation in your lungs and in your body as well. It's also good for digestion, heart health. And they think it also has anti-carcinogen, whatever, it kills your cancer cells.
Just natural pineapple juice with honey.
Hold on. It's not folate, potassium, magnesium. No.
That's in pineapple
juice. It might be manganese. I can't remember.
Guarantee it's the honey.
No, the honey activates one of those, and it makes it stronger because you have and just add it to it. I'll find that damn video. I saved
it. Makes sense,
it.
Though.
Again,
it's natural stuff.
Yeah, and we went over. Sounds like a dead horse, but fall's coming, and like your dandelions and the milk thistle and all of these natural things. And that as soon as I get those two damn books in, I swear to God, I'm going to go broke because of my Patriot Supply. I'm just ordering all kinds of books off of there. And
just let me know how good tomatoes are for your body, because I have enough tomatoes to last a lifetime.
Oh, the lysine? Tomatoes are... Oh, there is one thing about tomatoes. I cannot have a lot of tomatoes because of the acid. And for the life of me, I could not remember why people would tell me add a teaspoon of sugar to your spaghetti sauce, tomato soup, whatever. It gets rid of the acidity in your tomatoes. They're not saying add it for taste. It's not for taste. You can't even taste
no.
what you put on.
No,
yeah.
But I just found, I just made penne vodka gravy, and I was pulling up recipes online. And if you throw a carrot in your gravy and just leave it whole, because I don't like carrots, if you throw a carrot in there, it adds the same sweetness as sugar, but it's natural.
Really?
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
But I would never use a teaspoon of sugar because it makes it too sweet. I literally put a pinch in there.
I just know that's why they do it.
Tomatoes, believe it or not, tomatoes is about 40% of your daily recommended minimum vitamin C.
Oh,
also
Christ,
vitamin
no wonder I'm going to live long. No wonder I'm not getting
vitamin
sick.
Okay, also your vitamin A, your vitamin K, potassium. So, hold on, there's 7 health benefits, and I did not go over 7.
Oh, so I guess a tomato a day can go along with the apple a day.
Yeah.
Or
also, if you take said apple and throw it at the asshole who's driving you crazy, it'll do you good too.
Well, no.
So my 4 cases are down to 2 right now. We're doing well.
Huh?
I just had 4 cases of tomatoes 2 days ago, and now I'm down to 2.
I love making homemade spaghetti sauce. Tomato soup, tomato juice. I will use the whole entire tomato for the stuff.
I cut nothing down except for the bad parts. I cook gravy nonstop from July through September, nonstop every day.
So, like I was saying, it's got a lot of vitamins. It helps protect your heart. Oh, you ass. Sorry.
That's not nice.
I know, but it... No, I'm telling you, my internet, it does what it wants. I'm just sitting there looking at it, and all of a sudden it just goes to something else, some random page.
Like Randy, who has diabetes, if you throw a carrot versus sugar into your tomato or your sauce, gravy, whatever you call it, it would take the acid out, so you'll still get all the vitamins plus your carrot, which is what what is it called? What's in your carrots?
Beta carotene.
A, vitamin
yeah,
A, you mean?
Beta carotene.
Yeah. But anyway, tomatoes are good for your heart. It has lutein for your vision. It helps with macular degeneration. It helps with your digestive health, which is kind of funny when the acid kind of triggers people's acid reflux.
So do the seeds. But you can remove them if you, you know, if you, you know, work around the tomato, you can remove them, or you can bake it off if you want. But that's a lot of work. I don't mind having it in mine.
Oh, I just found something very interesting. Oh, also, tomatoes help with diabetic management.
Yep.
With type 2 diabetics. But here's the deal I just noticed. It says just be aware that in some people, the acidity from cooked tomatoes. So if I eat my tomatoes like tomato slices on a sandwich, like a tomato sandwich, that's not what gets you. It's when you cook it. That's when the acidity comes out. Cool.
Right, when you're baking, when you're cooking down the skin and the seeds together.
Oh, okay.
So you can work around that and just take the middle part. Again,
Yeah. Okay.
You work around the seeds because a lot of people like with diverticulitis can't do the seeds. Some people can't do the skin. So if you cut around that, now I don't do all that. But you can work around that. But someone with diabetes, again, to take that bitterness out, you just throw a pinch of sugar and or I just read this morning. I was just telling Bob this morning. You throw a whole carrot in there, and I don't eat carrots. But it doesn't break down in the gravy. So you can pull the whole carrot out.
So also, tomatoes. This got more health benefits. It helps guard your skin health. You combine tomato paste and olive oil, and that protects against sun damage. No, don't use it as sunscreen. I know someone's going to ask me that before I'm done with this. It helps boost the production of procollagen, and they think it's the lycopene that's in the tomatoes. And so it's at its highest concentration, the lycopene, when the tomatoes have been cooked, and the olive oil will boost the absorption from your digestive system into your bloodstream.
You should always cook a good olive oil. I know it costs a little bit more.
I love olive oil.
I do. Which one do you use?
Any extra virgin olive oil. I usually actually pretty much stay with Bertolli's, which is your pretty basic.
I love Bertolli's.
You know.
Yeah, Bertolli's is good.
It depends. Yeah, it depends on where you're born. Yeah, we call it Bertolli's. But that's a pretty medium price range. I mean, if I'm making something special, I'll buy like a more expensive from the Italian store, and I couldn't even tell you the name of it. But I normally just stay right across the line.
But if you
if
go
I'm
to Walmart
on a salad,
go to Walmart.com.
Walmart.com?
Yeah, go to Walmart.com. They have the massive container of the Bertolli olive oil for like $6. The 72-ounce one? Yeah.
Well, pretty cheap.
But the problem is the shit keeps going up. It's not for
I should have a lot
Olive oil is one of the things I'm stockpiling.
Pumped
you can
egg.
Tell if you fry a chicken cutlet in olive oil versus a canola or a vegetable, you're tasting the difference.
Oh yes,
yeah,
you are.
The Pompeian extra virgin olive oil is another good one, but it's expensive.
Yes. I use that one on salads. Like I get the more expensive ones, or flavored ones for to use on my salads. The Bartoli, I mean, not that I won't use the Bartoli, but I get that one mostly for cooking. Also, too, I will use the extra virgin olive oils. They have different flavors based on the quality. As Dawn pointed out, you can taste the difference. But
yes.
Also,
yes,
too, if you get one that has a very mild flavor, and again, I stick with the extra virgin one, but if I get you get one that has I use it for my baking, for making cookies and stuff, because there's also a noticeable difference there as well with the taste and the texture.
And it's healthier.
Yes.
Yeah. I take, you know, because I grow basil, oregano, and mint in my little herb garden. I take my basil and my oregano, I dry it, and I mix them together. Right. And then I have this little jar that you put a cork in it. I got it from the dollar store. And I took olive oil, dumped it in that, mixed the basil in there with it. And if I'm making, like, the chicken breast or whatever, I just use a little bit of that.
And I do that.
Yeah, I don't like them flavors too much. Them flavors are strong.
Well, no, I just add the basil to mine for seasoning is all I do. I don't do the
yeah. I never usually use them. I just use it in a spinach vodka gravy that I just made. It turned out amazing. But I normally just like your basic tomato, garlic, olive oil.
Well, tomato sauce, and I make a lot of different things. And like you know, when I'm making stir fried vegetables, I'll use sesame seed oil. Huh?
Start calling it gravy.
Yes, me.
What?
We don't call it. We don't call it sauce at my house.
No, it's tomato gravy.
You don't call it sauce?
No.
No,
we don't call it sauce. It's gravy in my house. Oh, God. Now we're going.
Yeah, but if you make spaghetti. But if you make spaghetti.
No, it's still gravy.
No, it's all gravy.
Yeah.
I'm not Italian, so therefore I don't care.
I'm not Italian either. My cousins were Italian. That's how I was raised. We said sauce in our house. We were in trouble.
Yeah, see that tomato sauce, that's ragu and progresso. The shit that we make from scratch is gravy.
Gravy.
Yeah, see, that was my...
If I'm making
my grandmother,
I am not putting my brajol in sauce. It's going in gravy.
No, it's going in gravy.
My dad's mom
all right, guys, have
is
it,
Irish.
I'm sorry. I'm Irish.
No, go ahead. I'm Irish and Scottish, but my grandmother
I'm Irish,
never.
I'm a bunch of in betweens. But I was raised by Italians right from Sicily. So I was always the little Irish girl at the table eating the dough out of the bread instead of the crust.
See, my grandmother, she made her own spaghetti sauce. She never, ever bought
gravy.
Jar spaghetti sauce. Ever.
Nope.
And I got used to it, and then when I start canning, I will put up my own.
You know you don't have to can anymore, right? All you have to do is put it in a freezer bag and freeze it.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Stewed tomatoes. Yeah, but here's the thing. My freezer is not big enough. I have one of those side-by-sides. But here's the thing. What if you lose power? Then you lose all of those tomatoes and anything in your freezer.
Well, some of us have a backup generator, so I have a whole extra freezer and refrigerator. So I have four cases. Literally, I'm down to I freezer bagged three bags last night. I'll freezer bag three more in the morning, and make two more pots of gravy, and I'll be through with the four cases, and then the end of my garden will come. But literally, all you have to do is steal them in a Ziploc bag. And then they come out, like you said, like a stewed tomato. But all you have to do is cook them longer. But you don't have to jar anymore.
That's what my grandmother did. That's how she made stewed tomatoes and white rice. And oh, my God, that is like, oh, my God. But see, I had
to switch tomatoes over macaroni and cheese.
Oh, I love tomato and macaroni and cheese.
I just experimented one day, and I got bored. you do that.
All right,
when you're bored.
I have to go.
Go ahead.
Tomatoes over macaroni and cheese. They think I'm crazy. I'm like, no, you don't understand. It is absolutely delicious.
I love tomato with my mac and cheese. All right, people, I have to go. Have a great show. I'll talk to you soon.
You too.
All right, take care. It's great getting to hear you.
Nate, I'm waving like she can see me. Jesus. I just lost my mind. I'm telling you. But back to the colds and influenza. There's actually, you know, for the longest time I just thought influenza, okay, that's a cold. No, it's actually a different type of cold. So you have your head cold,
yeah.
And then you have influenza. So, and here's how you're going to know. Your fever and a cold, you may not even have one. Or you have a low grade. Yeah, influenza, you will have a high fever. If you get a fever with influenza, it's going to be a high one. Headache, not very common with a cold, but it is common with influenza. Nasal congestion is common with a cold, occasionally with influenza. Sore throat is common with a cold, occasional with influenza. Now, here's the difference. With a cold, you have a mild cough. Influenza, it'll be severe. You'll think you have bronchitis or pneumonia. Aches and pains, it'll be severe with influenza, and it's common with the cold. And fatigue is mild with the cold. You just feel run down with a cold, when I get a cold and sinus and all that. It's just because you feel run down. You feel icky. Ugh. You could take a nap. It's mild. But with influenza, it's severe. And with COVID, I swear to God, I got every single symptom they listed. Every freaking one of them. And I kid you not, the muscle aches and pains was horrible. But guess what? I survived. Like I said, I survived 2 weeks at home, and then I could not beat that fever, but that was because of the blood clots and, you know, the other issues. And it took me 3 months to completely recover. Influenza, the administration of antiviral medication, like Tamiflu. Tamiflu is rampant. They will throw that shit at you in Africa and in India. watch any of these movies. What was it called? 24 Hours or 48 Hours? It's a movie about Ebola, and it's got Danny Glover in it. Boom, Tamiflu. That's one of the things they will throw at you. They love Tamiflu, and especially in India, too. I've never taken it. Never, ever taken Tamiflu. But the thing about Tamiflu is you got to take it within the first 48 hours, or it's not going to do you any good. Kind of sucks. And all it will do is it'll short... Huh?
I said, I'll be honest, I don't take too much of the counter stuff. When as soon as I start feeling sick, I'll just act like I'm sick that I'm in, so I don't have to go to work. And then I get home, I drink lots of hot tea, honey and lemon, and orange juice, and I'm back to my near self within 24 to 48 hours. So,
if I get anything, oh, my ears are popping. If I don't feel better within 2 days,
yeah.
I'll be sick for a week. I'll be down for a week.
I exaggerate. When I'm sick, I exaggerate.
Huh?
I can't remember the last time I actually had a fever. As soon as I start feeling run down, I act like I'm dying, and I stay away from people. I stay in bed. I drink hot tea. I sleep. And within, like I said, 24 to 48 hours, I'm fine. I'm like nothing was ever wrong. I have vertigo, and I used to only get it a couple of times a year. It increased a little bit, but I've been getting attacked a lot lately. And I don't know what's causing it. That I have to find out. But I haven't been pretending on that one.
It's your equilibrium is off.
Yeah, but why all of a sudden? I know it's like I was fine.
You could have inflammation.
Is that EBS test? That EBS test? The day they did it, that whole half hour, I thought I was having an attack. My head, the headache, the nausea, the spinning, and then within 5 minutes of it supposedly being over, I was perfectly okay. And I didn't even, the timing didn't even dawn on me until I was talking to somebody later when they asked if I had gotten any of the EBS, any of the alerts, and I hadn't. So I don't know. I mean, I do know that, the 5G towers, even electric towers, can cause you to feel certain things. So,
yeah.
I don't know how to fight that, but with the cold, back to what you were saying about the cold and the flu, is it one is a bacteria and one is a virus? That's why.
No, they're both viruses. Yeah.
One you could treat with the with an antibiotic.
You treat the symptoms. You treat the symptoms. Pneumonia is a bacteria.
Okay, so is the one you can treat with an antibiotic.
And bronchitis. Bronchitis can also be a bacteria they always treat the bronchitis with antibiotics, so I guess it ends up as a bacteria. So.
Well, I know when my sinuses would act up, they would only give me, stuff for to treat it, like over the counter. But if it got to the point that it turned green, then they would give me an antibiotic because it had become bacterial.
Yeah. So when you look at, and I know this is TMI for some people, and I'm sorry, whatever comes up when you blow your nose or you cough up phlegm, it's clear, white, yellow, green, brown, or red than brown. Okay.
Right.
Clear and white, it's okay. You don't have an infection. That's just normal. Your body, the infection is in the snot or phlegm. Okay. It's not until it starts turning colors, like yellow, green, red, and brown means it's old blood. That's what the brown
right.
is, like rust color.
Right.
That's when you have to go with the antibiotics. So, like with your colds, and your sinuses, the steam, like saunas and things like that, your showers with the steam helps break up all the crap in your nose and stuff like that. Also, a neti pot.
Oh, I hate neti pots.
Okay, I know they're disgusting, but... I've yet to try one, but the saline spray, the little bottle called Ocean Spray or Saline Spray, whatever brand you want to buy.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to use those because I have allergies up the wazoo. I swear to God, in the last 18 months, every time I sneeze, I get looked at like I'm dying and I'm going to spread Ebola everywhere. And I won't see. Okay. So here's the thing that I've learned.
You have allergies, do you use it all year round or only during allergy season?
I use, when I start sneezing a lot, I'll use the Ocean Spray. One, it keeps your nose from drying out. And it stops nosebleeds. I use it all year long.
Yeah.
I will use it all year. Here's the thing. There's a spray called Afrin. Afrin is medicated. Well, no. Afrin works, but you can only use it once. I think you can only use it twice a day or three times a day, and you get a rebound effect.
If my sinuses are acting up or whatever, but saline, the saline I use like during cold season, I use it every, I think, 12 hours or whatever it is. During the rest of the year, I only use it as needed.
See, I'm allergic to dog dander. We have two dogs.
And you've got all those dogs.
Short hair. Yeah, one's a short hair, one's a long hair. So I have constant allergies. And so my doctor put me on the nasal spray.
Uh-huh.
That I'm supposed to use, a Flonase or whatever it's called. Yeah, I don't use it every day.
Okay, Flonase,
but,
yeah.
But here's the thing about your sinuses that I was trying to get to. If you have really congested sinuses, the thing you have to remember is if you use the nasal spray or not, don't blow your nose hard. The reason being, it's going to make the inflammation even worse because you're trying to force everything out of your sinuses. You have five nasal cavities. Okay, the one above your eyes, and then you got one under your eyes, and then one, there's one on each side. Your sinus cavities, they're right next to your nose, under your eyes, and then there's two more on your, well, not really your cheeks, but they're up there. So the best thing to do, take the saline spray and just spray the shit out of your nose. I mean, just spray.
Right.
And be over a sink, like your bathtub or whatever. Not your kitchen sink,
right,
because your dishes go in there. And let it, unfortunately, just let it run out. You're irrigating your nose.
Right.
And then gently blow your nose. And all of that crap will come out. I did notice that. Whenever I figured that out, not that anyone told me.
the
harder I blew my nose, the neti pot will one. Okay, here's the thing: you got two sides to the neti pot, and there's two hoses. In the same little thing, one little tube will shoot the crap up your nose, and the other one sucks it out at the same time. It's kind of like cleaning your carpet with a carpet cleaner. Same principle. And then you go to the other side. Now, have you ever noticed when you cry, if you, like, I'm talking boo-hoo, blowing snot, crying, when you start crying a lot, your nose gets stuffy?
Yes.
Have you noticed? Okay. Your nose is attached to your throat. So when I say irrigate, watch out, because that shit will go down your throat, and then you'll start gagging because you just swallowed saline water. Back when my daughter, my oldest is 32 now, God, that's so old, she stuck a Mike and Ike up her nose. And I'm sure people that's older than a millennial knows what a Mike and Ike is. For Good and Plenty,
yes.
Those little gummy candies. Yeah,
yes.
She sucked that damn thing all the way up her nose.
Ew.
Well, she was three when she did this. Okay. Okay. So here, she stuck it so far up her nose, it went up and over and swallowed it and did not even care to tell us she swallowed it. We had to take her to the emergency. Well, here's the thing. The sugar that's on the candy was coming out her nose. I'm like, oh, my God, but it was an orange one. So we're like, what the hell? We took her to the ER, and they had to stick, and they said, look, if you don't blow your nose, we're going to have to stick the water pick thing up her nose and flush her sinuses until she finally sat still and let them look. And she did. She pushed it up and over. That's why. Pay attention to your kid. By the little shit, she got the candy, she went to the bathroom, and she said, that's okay, my son, he's the middle child, when he was, I don't know, four, five, stuck powdered donuts in his ears because he thought it was a cotton ball. And he got tired of hearing his sisters. Yeah, he got tired of hearing his sisters, so he stuck powdered donuts in his ears, little asshole. I'm telling you, kids will do the dumbest thing. So anyway, ibuprofen and Okay, look, here's the thing. Ibuprofen, Motrin, and Advil, same damn product. Same thing. Okay?
Yes.
Aleve is in the same family, but it's an NSAID, non-steroidal, inflammatory, whatever. But that's what Aleve is. Or naproxen sodium, same thing as Aleve, because in Aleve is naproxen sodium. Don't get suckered into buying the brand name when you can buy the generic. Same thing with Tylenol, acetaminophen. Like I said, steam inhalation, good hydration. Also, if when you do get a cold or influenza or any of these respiratory infections, drink plenty of water, hot tea, your juices, because the more you stay hydrated, the looser the crap in your sinuses and in your lungs will be. So I don't know if you guys have noticed this. When you go to the hospital, you feel like a just like a wet turd, and they give you an IV, and you feel 100 times better. That's because your body was so dehydrated that it needed the fluids. I've been so dehydrated, I had double pneumonia. I needed 2 IV bags, 1,000 cc's each bag, before I could even pee. Because normally halfway through the bag, you got to pee. I was so bad, it took 2 bags. Yeah, and I had double. I was in AIT when that happened. I had double pneumonia and 2 sinus infections. So both sides of my sinuses, and the reason why we found out how bad it was is because, I don't want to say, it's too bad, it's a medical show. I had double pneumonia. And then when they have the tube they got to stick down your nose. If you break your nose, you can't do it. When my battle buddy pushed it up my nose, oh my God, I thought I was going to die from the pressure. It's when he pulled it out. When he pulled it out, all you could smell was iron.
Ew.
And that was it, blood and infection. Yeah, I know, I hate to be gross, but yeah, that's how you know you're sick. But yeah, honestly, that's how sick I was. So anywho, moving on. So most of the respiratory infections are caused by viruses, but there are strep throat is caused by streptococcus, and that's a bacteria. People will get oh my God, I cannot believe they put this in the book. So here's the deal. Human antibiotics are the same antibiotics for animals. It's just different doses. It's just different doses. So listen.
I know.
Don't listen to me. Do your research on this crap, okay? Same thing with ivermectin. Ivermectin is used to deworm horses. But guess what? It works on COVID. But hey, you didn't hear that from me.
Ivermectin has been used on humans. You can actually get it over the counter in some of the different creams that they have. It has ivermectin in for different human things. It's not just an animal thing.
I know.
Even animals have ibuprofen too. You know, and the FDA really got some nerve saying the shit that they do.
I know. My vet for my dog told me to give her 2 Benadryl because she's allergic to fleas. And she will chew her ass until she bleeds. So anyway,
$8 a pack.
I know. Listen, amoxicillin is what they give people, right?
Right.
The veterinary equivalent for amoxicillin is called fish mock for your fish tank. It's like fish food. Okay, when I was in the 3 percenters, I'm no longer in the 3 percenters. When I lived in Tennessee, I was in the 3 percenters. And there was a side group of the 3 percenters was a prepper group. And she was a medic in the Army. She thought she was hot shit. And I'm like, good for you. And I swear to God, me and her had words and I left. She took fish mock. But she said it's something hard to get used to, whatever. So she tested it on herself. Also, Keflex or Fishflex is the same thing. Oh. The only difference is it's in a flake, like fish food flake. So they do make those gelatin, the empty gelatin caplets that you can put that crap in it and just take the caplet and not have to worry about the fish food. But that's why they put it in this, because it's a survival medicine book, which is why I said I can't wait to get the herbal antibiotic book.
I shared, maybe it was in my other group, I shared, I found a web page, and it has a link of all of these books, and they're all free, about herbal medicines, foods that you can eat, how to do all the survival shit from different organizations. I mean, they even have stuff from the Indians. I'll have to share it with you on Telegram. I've downloaded a shit ton of books onto my phone so that, you know, in case I lose, you know, the internet or whatever, I at least have them. And
because God forbid, just in case there's no doctor and there's things above my pay grade, I actually have an app that you will, it has questions, and it's got a person sitting there, and it says they present with this, or you can put in symptoms, and it will tell you what it is.
But
so eventually you will learn
what it is. Back to the internet.
Huh?
I said, yes, but what if you don't have access to the internet?
It's an app. No internet required. All the information is on the app. Yeah.
So you're stored on the phone. What's this app called?
Yep. I have no clue. I'll have to look at it. But anyway, the reason why we have things like MRSA and VRSA, which is vancomycin-resistant staphylococcus aureus.
Right.
MRSA is methicillin resistant. Well, people don't know. And now there's necrotizing fasciitis. I know there's different strains of it. But the thing with that is a lot of these bugs have become resistant to antibiotics. Okay?
Yeah, because people, they're giving them antibiotics out like candy, and then people don't take them all.
That too. If your doctor gives you antibiotics, damn it, take the whole entire package or the whole a bottle. After 2 days, ooh, I feel better. No, so you're going to rebound and then get sick again, or it's not going to, and that's the problem. So so both upper and lower respiratory infections are different from asthma. Totally different. Now, there is asthmatic bronchitis. And people get put on inhalers while they have bronchitis because it can mimic having asthma. So you have to watch out. So basically, everybody knows, cover your mouth and your nose when you cough. Wash your hands. We all know this. If you are sick, don't go out. Now, if you live by yourself, by all means, wear a mask. Even when this COVID's never going away. So we're just going to have to suck it up. Unless Christ comes back, COVID's never going away. So we're just going to have to live with it. Or until we have a revolution, and then it'll go away. But anywho, this is just common sense, people. Now, if you're sick, now I'm not saying change your sheets and things like that after one day. Wait a couple days and wash your bedding.
Oh, yes. I know if you've been sick for, like you said, 2 or 3 days or whatever, especially if you have a fever, once your fever breaks, you need to strip your bed, open your windows, all that stuff. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, you air the house out.
Yeah.
Spray your couch. I have done this myself. get cans of Lysol, which, you know, they should be getting them back by now.
Right.
I spray my curtains. I spray my curtains, my shower curtains,
right.
my living room curtains, my couch. I have even sprayed my carpet with Lysol. So, you know, and then I will bleach the whole entire carpet.
Vinegar works, too. Vinegar bleach works, too. Well, bleach, you don't want to put on material.
Well, no, I don't. I make a mixture, and I don't make it very strong. So, it doesn't. I don't make it strong enough to bleach anything. But, yes, you have to clean up. See, once your fever breaks, see, here's the thing. Rest. See, if I get sick, if I get a cold or something, I will do housework, take care of the dogs, blah, blah,
right.
blah, whatever. But if I'm in bed, you know I'm sick. I'm done. I will sleep for 2 hours, get up for a half an hour, interact with the dog. I felt bad for the dogs. I really did. Because they're like, can we get some attention? Nah. And I slept on the couch.
I understand. I agree with you. Sunday, I was supposed to go to a rally on Sunday, but I had a vertigo attack. You know, I was nauseous and the dizziness. And I'm like, what the hell? So I couldn't risk driving, but I can't sit around and do nothing. So, I mean, I did my laundry. I did a couple other things. Things that, you know, if I got an attack, I could sit down or that I could, you know, rest. You know what I mean? I didn't have to worry if things started spinning, I was going to kill myself or somebody else. So, but it's the same thing when you get sick, a cold or whatever. You know, I have to be super, super sick to lay in bed and do absolutely nothing. You know, I do, I'll do my tea. I don't go into the office. I stay home. But that doesn't mean I don't do anything because I do have work I can do on my computer in bed. You know
now, here's the thing.
I could not accomplish something.
If you have a fever, you are contagious.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't get
you can shed. You can shed whatever it is that you have if you have a fever, which is why they tell you when you have children in school, they're not allowed to return to school unless they go 24 hours without a fever. So, don't self-medicate unless modern medical care is not accessible. And that refers to apocalyptic event.
I'm not
sure
what
Yellowstone.
You mean by self-medicate. What do you mean by self-medicate?
Antibiotics. If you happen to have antibiotics, just say you could get to a pharmacy. And we're talking like Yellowstone, an asteroid. I'm talking shit like that where there's no – I'm talking when society has crumbled. And you have to go through, one, make sure you know which antibiotic to give. Because not
right.
every antibiotic works best with everything. So,
correct.
Which is why
I
they want you to go the herbal route.
I do have the herbal one. I got silver, colloidal silver. I do got to get some more. And oil of oregano. And honey, of course, and there was something else I got.
Yeah, I do, too. I've got to get the colloidal silver. You can get that at Walmart. You could get it at any pharmacy.
I'm getting it from an American a company that's American. Everything's American-made. I'm not.
True.
I don't
Apothecary.
I don't know where it's made. Yeah, Apothecary.
Stores will have it. So these essential oils, geranium, clove bud, tea tree, and lavender.
Wait, did you say uranium?
Geranium.
Oh, I was about to say, you mean the flower geranium. That's a
Yeah, not
uranium really?
Like nuclear. Jesus.
wait, you mean the flower geranium actually has medicinal purposes? Jesus.
So... other things, other herbs that could be taken in a tea, elderberry, echinacea, licorice root, golden seal, yeah. chamomile,
yes.
peppermint, and ginseng. Antibacterial uh-huh. action has also been found in garlic and onion oil, fresh
yes.
cinnamon, powdered cayenne pepper. Yes. The thing about your cayenne pepper, that shit, one, will speed up your metabolism.
I love
and it will get
pepper.
Rid of any damn cold you have. What the freaking, you sweat it out. Unprocessed honey, lemon and apple cider vinegar. Oh, that's what it was. Apple cider vinegar, honey, lemon, cinnamon, and one other thing. Turmeric.
Tea. My sister makes that tea with all those ingredients you just mentioned.
Yeah, and turmeric. And you mix it all up. I think you add water to it. I'm not sure. And you can put it in your refrigerator, and it lasts 2 weeks. So
my sister did that.
Also, to treat fever,
uh-huh.
to treat fever, echinacea, licorice root, yarrow, whatever the hell that is, fennel, and fennel uh-huh. root you could buy it by like in an herb garden. Catnip. Shit, I'm gonna go buy some catnip and lemon balm.
I like catnip.
People are gonna go get high on catnip.
Yeah, my cat keeps trying to take my marijuana, thinking it's his catnip.
But tell you something, I need to get some CBD oil gummies or CBD gummies for dogs. Calm this retard down.
My sister got this CBD lotion. It's a pain thing. Like, you know how, like, if you pull a muscle or something, it's just, oh, my goodness, great. And, you know, huh?
Then I was just going to keep going because I want to finish this last page. So the underbark of a willow, a poplar, or aspen tree has allicin, and it's the active ingredient in aspirin. And you
really?
Strip off the outer bark. Yeah, you strip off the outer bark. Take several strips of the green under it and make a tea out of it.
And you said willow and which other tree?
Willow, poplar, and aspen. You get it's like on a lot of these trees, you know, you peel the bark and there's that soft stuff underneath. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah,
so,
I know. Yeah.
Congestion, you can use eucalyptus, rosemary, anise, peppermint, tea tree, pine, and thyme.
Huh.
Pine will also work as it make you vomit if you got the stomach flu or if you did anything like that. Just chew on some pine bark. And I literally mean chew the pine bark because that's what my grandparents had my brother do, and, yeah, it works.
On it would make me sick.
Stinging nettle, licorice root again, peppermint, anise, cayenne pepper, sage, and dandelion. Mix honey and drink 3 to 4 times a day as needed. Fresh horseradish is used to open airways. That stuff is nasty, but hey, whatever works. Plain sterile saline solution. You can use that like we talked about the neti pot or whatever. For aches and pains with the cold, St. John's wort, eucalyptus, camphor, lavender, peppermint, rosemary, and arnica, and you dilute that. The thing about lavender, they have lavender oils, lavender soap, shampoo, body wash, incense. That shit will make you go to sleep too.
Yes.
For muscle ache, passion flower, chamomile, valerian root, the underbark of willow, ginger, feverfew, and rosemary. So in this book, I suggest you get it. It cost me $15 at my Patriot Supply. It's called The Ultimate Survival Medicine Guide. It has all of the stuff in it that we've talked about, and it tells you how to make it into a tea or whatever and do it. So also gargling with salt water if you have a sore throat. gargling with salt water, it helps pull out the crap. We've also mentioned this before. Peroxide and Listerine, the shit works. And if you have strep throat, now, if you don't want to go to the doctor and you know you have strep throat, it's kind of hard to miss. You can gargle with Listerine and peroxide at the same time, a capful, you know, like a good gargle with it as long as you can stand it and spit it out. And then try not to rinse your mouth because that kind of defeats the purpose of doing it.
Right.
If you cannot get rid of it, I would say gargle with that quite a few times a day. The thing is, if you cannot after a couple of days, then yes, if you can, go to a doctor. My ex was so cheap, he would not go to the doctor, and that's what he used to do. I kid you not. Yeah. So the thing about wearing masks, I'm going to end with the mask. Yeah. So we all know the whole spiel about the mask. Surgical masks are just they're the blue things that you get at the hospital, or they're actually they're peach or orange or whatever, depending on where you're at. There's a reason why they call it surgical mask, because that's what they're used for. That's so the doctor, one, doesn't spit on you while they got you opened up. They're pretty much only good for their single-use purposes. That's it. Like I said, some viruses, aerosols, are smaller than the weave, the material that it's made out of, and so it'll go right through it.
Nice.
Now, your spit particles, it won't. Your spit will not go through it. Like people were using the vape pens and it blew the shit right through it. That's because it's aerosolized and it's smaller particles and it will pass through it. Then you have your N95 respirator mask, and everybody knows what those are. If you're a painter or if you work with construction, dealing with sheet metal, sheetrock and all that.
Right.
That's the N95 respirators. Because that's where you get them. You go to Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever, and that's where you get them. And it's a one-way valve. They have two-way valves, so air can go in and out. They have the ones with the one-way valve. So the thing is, if COVID was so deadly and so bad, why are they not telling people to dispose of the gloves and masks and biohazard containers?
Yeah, that's what I keep wanting to know.
It's not freaking Ebola.
Right.
Or any of these bubonic plague. Now, don't get me wrong. If Ebola happens to come tracing across in America, like over there, or Marburg, you damn right, you better put that shit, everything that you have, you better put it in a red biohazard bag, and that shit gets burned because it is that contagious. But for the most part, a tissue from sneezing, flush it or throw it in the trash. The gloves, mask, whatever, throw it in the trash. It's common sense. Next week we'll go ahead and cover, I know we covered a lot of nonsense too, but that's okay. That's the way shit
sure
rolls.
We covered a lot of nonsense.
Huh?
I said, we always cover a lot of nonsense. Got to have some nonsense thrown in.
This is what I tell people. It's my show, not yours. When you get your own show, you can do whatever you want. and they laugh about it. Good. If you don't have a sense of humor, I'm sorry.
I
hate it for you.
I think you do a good job.
I'm sorry. You know what? As I thought about it, I'm not like a lot of these professional radio shows, you know, the talk shows on the radio, you know, and all of that. So, whatever. I don't get paid to do this.
No, but here's the thing, Kim. You know, even though some of it may be, as you say, nonsense or funny stuff or repetitive, we're still learning stuff. And, you know,
I hope
you want somebody Yeah, and if you want somebody to really learn something, then it should be repetitive. It also should be entertaining so that they keep it in their head better.
Ow, you mother! Sorry, I just shocked myself. I swear to God. Damn it, that hurt. It wasn't even a complete shock. Sorry. But no, you're right. You some people learn, everyone learns differently. Okay, but repetition, memorization is the worst way to go because you memorize, you forget.
Yeah.
And I learn by repetition. You go over it, you read it, you do it out loud, you see it visually, and that's the way a lot of people learn. You can only learn as much as your butt can, your brain can only absorb as much as your butt can stand.
Right. Exactly.
Which means if you get bored, you're not going to learn shit. I'm sorry.
Yep.
You're not going to learn anything.
You're not paying attention.
Also, we only got 4 minutes left. So, Bobby, you still hanging around? Are you, like, sleeping or whatever? He's been awful quiet.
No, I'm not.
The whole show.
I'm not Lorna.
I'm
not Lorna.
Believe it or not, the first five to ten minutes of whatever you're reading, your brain does not absorb it. That's why some people have to reread some of the information they go over. And now I'm echoing.
Echo.
Sorry. Well, go ahead, Bobby.
All righty. Again, another awesome show. Thank you. Ladies, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you very much.
God bless America. God bless our children, our troops, veterans, first responders, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Bye.